Okay, I've got 9:05 a.m. We'll go ahead and call this regular meeting of the Coryell County Commissioners Court to order at this time, noting that all members of the court are present. For those of you that are here in person, if you've got an electronic device, we'd ask that you place it on silence at this time. And for those of you that are participating by Zoom, we'd ask that you place your device on mute until such time that you would need to address the court. We'll begin this morning with a word of prayer. Our most gracious Heavenly Father, we come before you humbly asking for the forgiveness of our sins. And Lord, we're so grateful to have your presence to watch over this court. Lord, we're most blessed by the fair weather you've given us. And we would humbly ask that you grace us with rains here in the Central Texas area. Lord, we're also thankful for your watchful eye over our first responders as they protect us here locally as well as abroad as you watch over us from heaven. Lord, we ask always that you place your hand of guidance and wisdom on this court so we may do here on earth what honors you in heaven. We ask these things in your son's holy name. Amen.
Amen.
We pledge to our flags. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Honor the Texas flag. I pledge allegiance to thee, Texas, one day, under God, one and indivisible. The next item on our agenda is the public forum. Citizens may address the court on any matters other than matters concerning county personnel or matters under litigation. Each citizen will be allocated 5 minutes with a total time not to exceed 30 minutes. Is there anyone here in person that would like to address the court this morning? Yes, Ms. Taylor. If you'll just stand right there, would be good.
I'm pretty angry about the last meeting. When I joined the Navy, my father told me, "You're going to be called the Wabanay." I said, "Well, then, Dad, I'll have to work harder." When I went to work at Bridgestone Firestone in Des Moines, Iowa, building tires, my father told me, "You're going to be called every name in the book." I said, "Well, then, Dad, I'll have to be better than they are." So that is what I did. And what I saw and what I heard at the last meeting from my precinct 4 angers me to the core. I am a victim's advocate, sir. I've been that way for over 30 years. I am deeply ashamed of you, and I don't even know what to say to you. You won't talk to me. You ignore our area out there, and we're tired of it. What you said to Mrs. Tippett, you need to apologize for, not any of you. And if any of you condone what he did and what he said, you're just as bad as he is. So it'd be my pleasure, sir, to work hard and to get you out of office. You do not belong to service people, especially women, if that's how you want to win. I don't allow. And if I see it, I'm going to make sure it doesn't happen again. So thank you for everything that you've done. We're very upset about the budget. You know that. I'm tired of the excuses. You've already done what you want to do. You've moaned and groaned about people who ask questions out in the audience. It's our right to ask questions, as many as we want. And your job is to provide those answers. We're not getting a whole lot of answers. So we've just given up for now, and we'll deal with it at the voting booth. So I don't know what to say, Your Honor. I've never had this in my life. You know, I've been coming here for over 25 years. And I've never seen anybody like you treat women like you did. You owe her a public apology. And I demand that you give it. If you don't, you're what my father would call a pathetic little man. So thank you, Your Honor.
Thank you, Ms. Taylor. Is there anyone else here in person that would like to address the court this morning? Seeing and hearing none, is there anyone participating by Zoom that would like to address the court this morning? Seeing and hearing none, we'll move on to item number five on the agenda, which is the consent agenda. While noting that there are four items there, you can choose to approve the consent agenda, or you can select any or all of those to be discussed individually.
Make a motion to accept consent agenda A, B, C, and D.
Got a motion to approve the consent agenda from Commissioner Basham.
A.
A second from Commissioner Matthews. Any further discussion on item number five? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye. All those opposed say no. Ayes have it, motion carries. Item number six is the road and bridge report. Mr. Lowe, anyone with us here this morning? Okay. We'll move on to item number seven, which is update and actions on grants to include, but not limited to, hazard mitigation plan. I believe we're still in the recoupment process for HMP. Is that correct, Mr. Bell?
Yes.
Okay. The RCP, again, I believe the next item that we need to do, and I'll reach out to y'all to get a date, we need to set up a workshop with MRB on that to get an update and close, see where we are. Community Development Block Grant, as you know, that's been awarded. We had engineering people in place. They've begun the preliminary engineering as well as the architectural, I mean, the historical assessment of the sites that we're dealing with. Some state check the block things. So you're all aware, and I don't know that I forwarded to you, but they've got a tentative timeline. We're probably not going to see any significant construction this fiscal year, but anticipate construction beginning in the first part of FY27 is what they've templated for that particular program. DR 4781, an extension has been submitted that was supposed to be closed out this November. An extension has been submitted on 4781, primarily due to the fact that we've gone through about eight or nine different project managers on the FEMA side of things. I don't see any significant issues with that extension, but we should be able to wrap that up and close that out within the next 3 to 6 months. The Leon Cowhouse flood project, Mr. Manning.
Judge, commissioners, before I get that, it's not on the agenda, but it's another grant, so we're up to speed on the Corps of Engineers. So CAP 2006, let's see, 205, 206, and 208, as you know, we've been working with the Fort Worth District for a couple of years on some possible funding for our infrastructure needs in Leon. Six weeks ago, I thought I'd be able to come in front of the court and talk if y'all had other issues talked about during these last few meetings, but I didn't get a chance to do that. Judge, I think you did what we would have advised you to do, which you notified the Corps that the counties can't move forward right now on those projects. This is what we recommended, because I don't believe the county's in a position to provide the match that would be necessary to fund those. And we can always go back. It's an annual deal. I didn't get a chance to talk to you, but what you did when they reached out to you was exactly what we would have recommended to the court if we had the opportunity to talk. So I don't know if y'all got any questions on that, but that's the that's where we are with the core running. Okay, on the Leon Cowhouse, a couple of things. One, first off, we're putting gauges in. There's a gauge screen working this week. We're going to be installing six gauges in Hoyle County. I've got locations for those. Okay. Marty, that's Creek and Slater Road. Dodd Ranch on Moskin Bend. Clear Creek on 274. And we need one on Table Rock. There wasn't a good location on Table Rock outside of the Fort Hood. So we've got permission from Fort Hood, and we're going to drop one in Table Rock, somewhere in the vicinity of Antelope Road. The other two are big gauges, like USGS type gauges. A&M and Black Plant is going to put those in. One of those is going on Cowhouse Creek on 84, okay, out pointing here at Eman. And the other one is going to County Road 322 on Leon. And on all the county structures, we've already done all the coordination with Justin Road and Bridge. They're up to speed. Okay, so those gauges, we'll start dropping them in this week. We'll have all of them in before the end of the month. The fees for those gauges will go on the county site that we got with y'all, the public site. I don't know if the public knows better not being with the public site. We'll have those gauges feeding along with everything else. And there may be some calibration there. Some of these are new technology where the states ask us to test three different types of systems. So there'll be a little bit of a space in between the time we drop them in until we're actually getting good live feed into the county's platform. But we'll get there pretty quick. Okay. So I'll stop, see if there's any questions for the court of that before we go to the next part.
The only question that I have with the gauges is, and again, I think this kind of goes with the model. Have we identified locations upstream on the Leon or the Cowhouse? And what's the time frame of putting those gauges in?
Yeah, there's actually 14 total gauges going in on this project, all the way from Eastland County down into, Coryell County. We're not. So I'm just giving you a report on what's going on with Coryell, but what you're actually seeing is happening across the entire watershed.
Okay.
So the effort's not limited to Coryell County. It's just that, talking about what y'all are most interested in. But there will be 14 total gauges. Five of those will be the bigger gauges that Blackman will put in, are USGS type gauges. They're all going into the main system, the Leon and the Cowhats. The gauges that we're putting in are the smaller ones that are more just for flood alert, and they're going on the critical. Okay, so we're going to drop those. There's nine of those. We'll have all those in before the end of the month. The five big gauges, A&M, those are more complex. They've got to be assembled from parts coming in from different manufacturers. There's more going on with that. We met with Blackland last week. I think they're probably a month out from starting installation, ballpark. But all of those gauges will feed back into the platform, so you'll be able to see all of it. One last thing I'll say, when we had our coordination meeting with Bell County, this is for Commissioner, we're going to move that his gauge over down to Bell County across the line. Are you okay with that, Commissioner? We give them your gauge?
No.
Okay. No, we said we may add a gauge down there. They have some concerns about some of the RV parks that they've got on the upstream side there around the lake, right across the county line. So we're talking about adding a small gauge in there. I don't know if we need it, but we can add it. So that's kind of it on gauges. Before I go on, any other questions about that? Okay, so the next thing, so something else that we provided to the county, I've talked about this a little bit before, but the commissioners don't know about it. We went in with, along with A&M, and we surveyed all of the, everywhere where water crosses a public road, intersection with a public road, whether that's county, state, or federal. And we've gone into every one of those sites individually, and we've mapped those sites. We've assessed what type of structure that is, whether it's a 6-inch plastic culvert or a top bridge. We've assessed the condition is either good, fair, or poor. We know what kind of material it's made out of. All that information goes back to the models. But we've created a layer of that, which we're also coordinating with Road and Bridge. So the county now has a layer of, I think there's like 1,150 across the county. Culverts, crossings, all that. So we've got all that in a layer. The modelers are using that, but there are other reasons why the County Road and Bridge would want that. And it ties into some other information that they're collecting. So that we're probably at the horizontal, creating the vertical layer. That's all the building. And so the vertical layer, I can't remember the number, but it's a large number. Every house you know, whether it's a commercial or residential or a government building or whatever it is, we've got a vertical layer. What we've done with both of those, so we created a flood risk assessment for both horizontal and vertical structures. We did not use the FEMA firm because that model, FEMA won't spend money on rural parts of the country. And so there's a lot of areas that are unmodeled, uncovered, including parts of Coryell County. So the state's gone in and created another model. They call it a base level elevation or BLE, and that covers the entire state. We're using that model to assess risk. And so we've got a layer that's got all of the horizontal structures, which would be your bridges and crossings, and the buildings that would be at risk at various levels of flooding. So we provide that both to the sheriff's office. We haven't trained them on it yet, but they got it, and Road and Bridge has got it. We all don't have an EMC here, or we would have that risk management coordinator plugged into this as well. So I'll stop right there and see if you got any questions on that. Okay. So with that, this is maybe the good news part of this. So as you're aware, Judge, ACF in the past has gone in and found funds to help certain things like we do at the Sheriff's Office. Okay. So we've identified a little bit of money that we're going to put into a pilot project. We've already kind of coordinated this with Justin. We probably need to get the county attorney involved on how we structure the agreement. But basically, we're going to use the model to identify some of these low water crossings that are most at risk on county roads. And we're going to match up to 50% of the cost to replace some of those. In a normal year, which this is definitely not going to be a normal year, but normally Road and Bridge would build two of those. And so we set enough money aside, figured that if he did two, that we would do two or split on four. We had a long meeting with Justin last week. He's going to try to find a way. I think he got flat pretty good on this rodeo here, but I think he's going to try to find a way to make that work. If he does, then we will replace, I think he's already selected four. They would be Yoder Bridges, so they'd go from low water crossing to Yoders, and I think there's one in every precinct. And it just worked out that way. It wasn't as we were going through, there's a target-rich environment looking at where all y'all need upgrades, right? So if this works over the 26th year, we will help fund four of those little bridges. And they'll be Yoders. That's y'all's vendor. He's already got a contract with them. And we'll have more information. I'll let him talk to y'all about which ones we're doing. He used our model to select. And I don't have the locations with me. I wasn't in the room. He's working with Banking Council. But if this works, we're talking to the state. We may be able to use this to develop a little better program to have kind of a steady flow coming in each year and bump a few of these up and upgrade. Any questions on that?
No.
That's all I got.
Okay. Mr. Manning, thank you. That's a great update. And I think everyone on the court would extend the appreciation to ACF for what they're doing to assist Coryell County.
Chris, remind me. Citizen Federation.
Hey, this I'm is, trying to.
Y'all approved, I believe.
I keep getting errors about my support email, and so I'm trying.
So selection of eForce as a CAD for the sheriff's office. That sort of gets back into this. So there's a systems integration piece. You know, they're operating a system with us right now. It doesn't do the CAD piece. So we've had a series of meetings with the eForce, the vendor, about systems integration between those two, because there will be some things that we'll pull from that. So right now, the county has a site where you can see every prescribed burn, right? Where the county dispatch, sheriff's office dispatch is putting those in. We're about to have a deal where when they get a 911 call for a structure fire, we'll put that on the same platform. So all the users of the system, like volunteer fire departments, ambulance, all those guys will be able to see it. We'll have a filtered version that the public can see. So somewhere in the not too distant future, we'll start dropping in. The public can already see the prescribed burns, the control burns that come in. But the 911 calls are going to drop on that platform too. Okay. And we're probably I don't know, 90 days, something like that, from that happening. But we're working that piece.
All right, great. Thank you. Any other grants that the court wishes to discuss? Any actions that the court wishes to take? All right. Hearing none, we'll move on to item number 8, which is a discussion item concerning the Alamo Letter Society and the Travis Letter Victory or Death Initiative. We've got 3 members of our County Historical Commission here with us, Mr. Corbett, Ms. Taylor, and Mr. Brown. I will say in full disclosure, I do have family relations with Ms. Taylor and Mr. Brown. However, they're not within the third degree of affinity or sanguinity. So any conversations that I may be able to have would not be a conflict of interest or an ethics violation. So with that, I'm going to turn it over to our trio of historical experts.
Good morning.
Good morning.
And commissioners of the court, thank you, first of all, for giving us the time to be here and visit with you. My name is Catherine Curry Brown Taylor. And the reason I say Curry in there is because I grew up, there were 2 Catherine Browns in Jacksonville, Texas, a year apart. Mail got mixed up, all of that. So we're distinguished the difference between our middle names. I was your county auditor at one time back in the 70s and 80s. And also I retired as senior tax auditor with Alcoholic Beverage Commission. District in Waco was my district. I covered 11 counties auditing everything from country clubs to dives. So without further ado, I would like to introduce my co-chair, Mr. Marshall Brown, and he is going to give you a little update on his background. Thank you, Marshall.
So, good to be back in Coryell County. I'm a 5th generation Coryell Abite, I guess, and a 7th generation Texan. I'm proud to be a Texan and proud to be here to address the court today on what we feel is a very important milestone for the county. My background is I went to school here in Gatesville, graduated in 68, went to MCC, went to Sam Houston State, went to Syracuse University, served in the U.S. Air Force. And I'm now into about 9 different genealogy groups. So I think between Catherine and us, we know quite a bit about probably a lot of your background. So, but with that, a project came up about 2 years ago at the Alamo. Mr. McNutt, who is of the Collins Street Bakery, of course, the Canna, him and his daughter was there, and they made a comment that they were reading, if you've been to the Alamo in the little plaza in front in the grassy park, there's a letter. I passed out a copy of the letter, which is the Travis letter that was written on February the 24th, 1836, which is right before March the 6th, which was the final day of the Alamo, asking for help. And as a result, his daughter asked, why doesn't more counties have this? And that started the society called the Alamo Letter Society. That society, which I'm a member of, has now installed over 26. I went on Saturday to Montgomery County, which is Conroe, for you that do not know the counties, but that is in the North Houston area. And it celebrated the dedication of the 26th monument dedication. There's over 80 in process, of which Coryell County, I'm proud to say, has started that process. There are 3 parts to our project. One is a monetary of to purchase the bronze plaque. This is a gift to the Coryell County. This is not being paid by the county, the government. This is paid for by a donor. Number two is the actual construction that the letter will be placed on, meaning we have decided with consultations using a limestone that will be blend in with the county courthouse in a cradle type environment, which means that it will be on the ground at a 45 degree angle, about 30 inches high. We propose it to be in the southeast side of the courthouse, which means that's the original entrance. For all you that are not aware of that, that's the original entrance of the courthouse, and it currently holds two Texas historical markers. So that's our proposal. The third one would be, of course, to have a celebration, a ceremony, a dedication. We have no timeline other than we would like to see it on or about February of 2026, which, by the way, we are now in the high holy days of Texas history, if you're a history buff. 190 years ago, it started. That means the Alamo is next, Independence, San Jacinto, well, Goliad, and then San Jacinto. So this is an appropriate time for this to happen.
Well, I would just like to say that plaque itself, it's a bronze plaque, and it weighs 203 pounds. That plaque has been donated. It costs $5,000. So we're looking at a project of about $3,500 total. And then, of course, we'd have an expense of the dedication. And we're hoping that we get enough money from our community for through donations to be able to have that base made and enough money maybe to use for the dedication of the monument. It's not cheap, but we feel like that it's something that needs to be done here. We don't want to be a county that doesn't have the monument on our courthouse lot. So we've been working on this. I had invited, Marshall had contacted me about this project, and I invited him to come and speak to the commission, the historical commission. And he made a nice presentation to us. So then we agreed that we would like to take this on as a project. And so then Mr. Danny Carbert, he appointed, after the meeting, he appointed the two of us as the co-chairs of the project. We've been working on it since June. So we're in hopes, and I know this is just a discussion, you're not today, but we're in hopes that we could get this rolling and it would meet with your approval to put it on the courthouse lawn, and we could carry on. Have the opportunity to start raising monies for the project and get it on there as soon as we can. Thank you so much.
Thank you. One last thing. For those that travel the state, these are the counties, real quick, I'm going to run through them. So if you happen to be in that county, you can look at the letter, how they did. Ellis, Rockwell, Nueces, Van Zandt, Hood, Reeves, Gillespie, Nacogdoches, Limestone, Howard, Burnett, St. Augustine, Navarro, Pecos, Freestone, Brazos, Ward, Andrews, Erath, Russ, Hardin, Crockett, Lano, Carroll, Hunt, Montgomery, and County. Hopefully we can say Boyle County very soon. So we welcome any questions, Q&A, about the project. I agree with Catherine that we would like to proceed with it, to be able to raise the funds from the public. Remember, this is a gift to the county. This is not a county expense, but we want to follow the gift in the way that the county wishes it. So there is no intent for us to use county monies. And you're going to hear us say that many times. But we would like to have the opportunity to start to begin to raise money on behalf of the project. Is there any questions by the commissioner's court that would specifically about the project? If you go to alamolettersociety.com, you can read a lot about it if you haven't already. Thank you.
Thank
you so much. So the court's aware they are doing a tremendous job of doing this at no cost to the county. But in fact, it would be a donation. So in the very near future, what we'll really have to consider is accepting the plaque and the mounting base, or make a decision on how we want it mounted or presented or displayed. We need to take an action to do that. And I think that's ultimately what the next step would be, and then follow closely as they're developing that plan for how we display that. So thank you. The next item on the agenda, item number 9, is consider interlocal agreement with the Heart of Texas Auto Theft Task Force. This went out in your packet. I think we do this annually, I believe. Is that correct?
We do it every 2 years. I believe we're doing this within this year because we're adding on Williamson County. We're getting investigators. So we're growing, getting some more investigators on, getting some more reach, getting some more people with intel and stuff. So communicating with all the other agencies around our county is very fruitful.
We're allowing Williamson County to infiltrate Coryell County. Is that what you're telling me? Okay.
Yeah, question.
That makes much to the interlocal agreement.
We've got a motion to approve the interlocal agreement for the Heart of Texas Auto Theft Task Force from Commissioner Matthews. A second in stereo from the entire right side. We'll give the second to Commissioner Weddle. Any further discussion on item number 9? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed say no. Ayes have it, motion carries. Item number 10 is to consider nominating a candidate or candidates for the Coryell Central Appraisal District Board of Directors. The information went out in the packet, I believe. With the people that are currently serving on the board previously, or with the last legislative session 2 years ago, they updated. We didn't get that. We just had that from Justin Carruthers.
Yeah.
No, I didn't. I thought we'd put those nominees in the back. With the court's indulgence, I would ask that we table this item so we can get the list of the current board members so you can see who we have to select from and the breakdown of the voting. What's that? I don't think we necessarily need it in a motion, as long as there's no objections to tabling this till later in the meeting. Okay.
Break
Picking up with item number 11 on the agenda, which would be to consider court order CC 25-08, order declaring equipment property as surplus salvage. Again, I believe that did go out in your packets, noting that there are several trucks, items of equipment from the Road and Bridge Department, which they want to salvage and sell.
Make a motion to accept court order CC 25-08.
Second. Got a motion to approve the court order from Commissioner Basham, the second from Commissioner Taylor. Any further discussion on item number 11? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed say no. Ayes have it, motion carries. Item number 12 is to consider appointing a Coryell County Health Authority in accordance with Health and Safety Code Section 121.021 through 121.024. This is an annual requirement. Since 2021, Dr. Deidre Winchell has served in that capacity. I have talked with Dr. Bates at the hospital, and it was his recommendation to allow Dr. Winchell to continue in that capacity.
Make a motion that we appoint Dr. Deidre Winchell to the Coryell County Health Authority.
Got a motion from Commissioner Weddle to appoint Dr. Winchell as the Coryell County Health Authority. A second from Commissioner Taylor. Any further discussion on item number 12? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye. All those opposed say no. Ayes have it, motion carries. Item number 13 is to consider Coryell County crime victims donation from the Coryell community, or to accept the donation from Coryell Community Church. The copy of that donation went out in your packets.
Make a motion to accept the donation from Coryell County Church.
Second. We've got a motion to accept the donation from Commissioner Basham, the second from Commissioner Matthews. Any further discussion on item number 13? I'd have to get with the auditor for where he specifically wants to put it, but it was designated for the Coryell County crimes victims. And I know that that's split between, there's some county attorney and some district attorney crimes victims. So
it appears to be submitted by the district attorney's office. I saw this toll's name on the email. Just didn't know if y'all put it in fund 10 or if I'm going to put it in 100 funds with crime victims money. Just asking. It doesn't disappear.
I think that it would be appropriate to put it in the crimes victims fund as opposed to fund 10.
Don't disagree with that.
Any objections from the court on that guidance given to the auditor, since it was designated for crimes victims?
Yes.
That.
I agree.
Okay. All right. Very good. Item number 14 is to consider budget amendment number 1 for FY26. I believe this came out of the county attorney's office, so I'll turn that over to Mr. Belt.
After consultations out of here, I'm withdrawing my request for a budget amendment.
Any action that the court wishes to take on considering item number 14? Well, hearing none, if you please note, no action taken for item number 14. Item number 15 is to consider selection of a vendor for county managed IT services under RFP number 25-04. Previously, we had selected four of the 11 respondents to come in for interviews. Gosh, was that like Friday week ago? The days are running together. Friday week ago. I think it was good time spent with them. I thought there were four very excellent presentations. And I think we're at a point where we need to make a decision. So I would open up discussions that the court may wish to have.
Good, well, thank you. I think we have some closed sessions and talk about it.
I'm not sure that the selection fits under any of the items where we could have a closed meeting. Mr. Bell, do you think there is something that we could discuss under a closed meeting under this?
Money.
Contract to be negotiated?
Yes. Good enough. I was under the impression we were going to have another discussion about a couple of things before the vendor was selected. One of those was going to be, because we didn't have a opportunity to visit about comparing the apples to apples on the money until after the interviews were over and we ascertained the information that was needed to be able to do that. I think we're in a position to do that now. I don't believe open session is an appropriate place to discuss the vendor's proposals on the financial side. That makes sense. I mean, it would definitely be exposing their pricing schemes and such if we had that discussion in open session.
What do your calendars look like for Monday, October 20th?
Okay.
I'm good. I am also good.
Morning or afternoon preference?
I prefer mornings.
Morning,
yeah. Okay. Any objection to scheduling a special meeting for Monday, October 20th, to begin with the closed session to crosstalk the presentations and the proposals with the intent of taking action following that closed session? Okay. 9 a.m. Is 9 good? 9?
Yeah.
Okay.
That was technical. Did you amend it after the presentations?
There was no changes to the pricing. I mean,
I disagree. We talked about that.
Okay.
There was a misunderstanding on my part. Maybe you may be correct. There may not be any changes, but it's just misunderstanding on my part. I don't know.
Okay. I believe we might have all the vendors here. So Monday, October 20th, 9 a.m., we will attempt to do this one more time. And I appreciate y'all's patience with us as we work through it. This is a pretty big one for us. Ms. Cornegie, if you would just note under item number 15, special meeting scheduled for October 20th. Okay. All right, going back and picking up with item number 10, which is to consider nominating a candidate for the Coryell Central Appraisal District Board of Directors. Again, this is just nominations. We're not, once the nominees have been compiled by the Appraisal District Board, I believe usually it's the first part of December that we'll come back and we will actually vote on which members we want. Again, with the change in the statutory laws from 2 years ago, previously we had voted on Mr. Carruthers. Mr. Carruthers, or the tax assessor collector of any county, now sits on that board without vote. There are two positions that are voted on, are elected at large across the county. And then that would leave the remainder to be voted in by all of the entities that contribute to the appraisal district board. So City of Coppers Cove, Coppers Cove ISD, Gatesville, Gatesville ISD, Evant ISD, Oglesby ISD, certainly Coryell County. We all have votes based off of a weighted average of the assessed values that are taxed. And if you recall last year, we went from number three on the list to number one on the list due to compression of the school district tax rates. So today's action would be to nominate particular board members.
I'm getting a clarification real quick. Okay, so there's two that are up for elections in this upcoming. So it'd be Kevin and Fason. How do we pronounce that last name?
I know it's Fason.
So anyway, I'd make a motion to nominate both.
All right, we've got a motion to nominate Jack Wall and Inez Fajan.
Kevin George.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm apologize. To nominate Kevin George and Inez Fajan to the board.
That is correct.
Second.
And that was from Commissioner Matthews, second from Commissioner Taylor. Any further discussion on item number 10?
Did they change the... Just from, I haven't looked lately at the deadline for the when the votes must come in on that. One time before, I know we had an issue with our meeting falling after the deadline for the votes being due. And we had to do it like in November of 1 year for some reason. Did they change any of that stuff? Or
not that, excuse me, not that I'm aware of. And I can't tell you that I'm well-versed enough to know. I know that historically, we've voted and sent our votes in that first part of December.
Yeah, it was just 1 year our meeting fell like late. Seems like we had this year our meeting fell the 9th. The first meeting in December. Yeah. Does it say in that letter what section that's referencing to?
I don't believe it does.
Oh, he's in the training right now. I was checking with him myself, but he's in the training. Elections, that's
the only thing we'll have to check with him, was just to make sure. Because I know that 1 year we, as we made that clear that when the votes were due. So we got time more about that. I just don't want to feel about it.
He did not cite statute on it. Ms. Cornegan, did we vote on that?
No.
No. Okay. All right, so we've got a motion and a second for Inez Fajan and Kevin George. Any further discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed say no. Ayes have it, motion carries. Item number 16 on the agenda is to pay bills. We've had bills presented in the amount of $1,317,435.31.
Pay B.
Second. We got a motion to pay bills from Commissioner Matthews, a second from Commissioner Taylor. Any further discussion on item number 16? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed say no. Ayes have it. Motion carries. Reports. Commissioner Matthews. Okay. Commissioner Weddle.
Had a beautiful weekend. Went out to the Ogletree Gap Heritage Festival in Copper Cove. Very well attended. I was there with the Republican GOP party, just trying to get people to sign up to vote.
Very good. Thank you. Commissioner Basham.
We have on the air handlers at the jail, we have completed three of those projects. We have started the fourth one so far, knock on wood. Everything has gone smoothly. And now I'm instead of getting complaints saying they're hot, now I'm getting complaints saying they're too cold. So going good.
Yeah, Commissioner, did you overachieve? Is that what you're saying? Did you put this right? You're overachieving.
1991. So, and I was a junior in high school. So, I'm 51 years old now. So, they served a good purpose for a long time.
That would not have been class of 84.
No, you're an old time.
Okay. All right. No, and hey, really good work on that. I appreciate
it's come along good.
You getting that done. Commissioner Taylor. Okay, very good. Only thing, and I put this on here because it is a little bit more than just congratulatory or salutations of some type. The Beryl Core Regional Habitat Conservation Plan, an endeavor we started about 2.5-3 years ago, has been put on indefinite hold. The vendor who had bought out our original vendor had asked for some timeline extensions, and in talking with U.S. Fish, which ultimately was the grant portion of that, they were not going to extend our timeline any further. So we would have had to pony up additional funds. Considerations given the political environment that we're currently in and the uncertainties of what the political environment will look like in the next couple of years, the board thought it was prudent to just pump the brakes, if you will, to get a better idea. Because ultimately, as you recall from the very beginning, this is a program where land gets set aside so that if there is an impact to projects, whether they're construction infrastructure, but any project that would have some nexus to state or federal funding allows them to bypass, if you will, certain environmental requirements because there are habitats that are similar in nature that are set aside. Coryell County's participation in this was not that we've got so many projects that would go on, but we have several landowners that could be paid additional funds to do the exact same things that they're doing right now. And I think that would be a great thing. So with that, the committee as a whole is still a committee, but no additional meetings would be scheduled until one of the members of the committee feels like there might be a need to come back and readdress this. We are up through phase three, which has all of the technical memos and technical letters specified in it. Phase four comes with writing chapters. So all of that information, all of that data that's been worked on up to this point is being maintained by the Clearwater Conservation District. So there is continuity and integrity at any point that we would pick up with this in the future. We don't have to start from the beginning. They've got technical memos and information to be able to start to pick up right where we're from. But from a cost standpoint, a time standpoint, and again, with some uncertainties dealing with the EPA and what the EPA may or may not do, we thought it was probably in the best interest to just put a hold on that for right now. So I welcome any questions that you may have concerning that. I still think there is a place for it in the future. It's just a matter of time.
What fish gonna do with the grant?
We're covered up through what we've expensed so far.
So they've paid out to the vendor up to this point.
Yes. Yes. But not the complete total of the grant. There's still reimbursement pieces that we will not claim against the grant because they're all tied to milestones. So what they've been paid through phase three is that's all they'll pay. And what we've contributed up through phase three is all we're contributing.
Has the vendor delivered the product up through phase three that they've been paid for?
Yes. Yes, they have. And we have access to that if you'd like to see those technical memos.
A while back they hadn't. I was just curious. They never delivered or not.
But we were not going to take action to suspend this until they completed phase three. And they have done that. And they have been notified that certainly in the future, if we decide to pick this project up, it will again go through a selection process for a vendor to finish the program. And they're more than welcome to apply. Any other questions? Okay, that concludes the business of the court today. Again, Ms. Tippett, Ms. Tippett, I understand, but we have an agenda to follow, and I'm sorry. I'm more than willing to explain that to you after court. I mean, I will spend the time, but it's okay. All right. We will get an agenda filed for Monday, October 20th, so that we can meet the time requirements imposed by the state. So that'll get filed today. So that concludes the business of the court today. We stand adjourned. Thank you.
Bills.
Yes.